Good morning, peeps. It's the Gloucester Cast. It's Sunday. That must mean it's the Gloucester Cast. And I am here with Craig Kimberly. First podcast for you in a long time.
It's been a while, brother. It's been a while.
The Mr. Grumpy Pants, Mrs. Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith. The effervescent Toby Pett.
Mr. Effervescent. Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning.
And Sister Felicia to round out this morning's cast. And I don't know, maybe other people will show up as we go. I got a lot of topics this week, a lot going on this week. But what else is new in Gloucester, Massachusetts? There's always a lot of stuff going on. I want to lead this morning with something that never gets any press locally, or if it gets pressed, no one ever talks about it. And it should be a thing, but it kind of isn't really a thing, but people should be able to take advantage of it. So we're going to talk about it right here, so hopefully people can take advantage of it.
It's a surprise to us, right?
It is. I guarantee you it's a surprise to everyone in this room. I guarantee you didn't know that this was happening, and it starts today. And anybody, I'm going to tell you what it is, and then afterwards I want you to tell me if you even knew it was happening, okay? This week, starting today, is Cape Ann Restaurant Week, sponsored by the Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce. Did anybody know that?
No.
I was going to say that before you said it, but I didn't want to ruin it.
Wow, that's great then.
Sorry.
That's good.
Two out of five. Two out of five. I didn't see any banners, advertising, or publications about it, so.
No, neither did I.
How did you know, Felicia?
Because they always do it this time of year.
Yeah, but how did you know that it was today starting?
I didn't know it was today starting, but when you said that, I was like, oh, it must be the restaurant week in Gloucester, because they usually do it at this time of year.
One out of five.
One out of five. That doesn't count. maybe sometime this time of year, did you hear about it this week? Did someone tell you?
No, I did not hear.
That's
about
what
it
we're
this
talking
week.
About. That
okay.
was the question.
No, yes. I didn't hear about it this
yes.
week.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Where did you hear about it?
From somebody in the chamber.
From someone in the chamber. Who? What, is it a bad thing to say?
No,
who told you
no,
about
no,
it?
No. It's one of the people. I spent a lot of time down the fort, and I was talking to, I forget exactly who it was, that was coming out from the chamber building. We were talking about different things going on, and it was like, well, hey, Toad, by the way, it's restaurant week starting Sunday.
Yeah, there you go.
Why don't they advertise it?
They kind of do, I guess. There's probably something in the Times, but who reads the Times anymore? They sent me a press release a couple days ago. I just opened up the email just now.
Yeah.
And what else is there? I mean, I don't know what other vehicles there are to get the word out. I don't know if they tweeted it out yet.
Right.
I haven't seen any tweets from them.
Through social media.
Through social media.
I didn't see
it. Big posters on every restaurant that's involved, usually. Big banners. That's how most cities do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. It's 25, or some restaurants are $25, some are $33, not including tax, beverage, or gratuity. And these are the participating restaurants. And listen to these restaurants, all right, because this is going to be another question. Franklin Cape Ann, Lobster Land, Ohana, Seaport Grill, the Sea Glass Restaurant, which is the Castle Manor Inn, and Lat 43. And in Rockport, there's one restaurant, the Grand Cafe at Emerson Inn by the Sea. Did you hear all those? Do you want me to repeat them? Everybody got them?
Yeah.
Which one would you pick?
Franklin.
Pick for what?
To go eat.
Oh, come on, man.
To go eat.
Where would you go out of those restaurants? Which one would you pick?
I'd say any one of them.
Okay, great answer. Okay, so Franklin was out of those. I'm gonna be the one dissenter out of those, and I'm gonna go with the Sea Glass Restaurant at
the Castle Manor Inn.
Okay. And I'll tell you the reason why. One of our lobstermen, Mark Lodge, on the Tight Lines, he was featured in the Gloucester Daily Times. They had a video or a picture of him offloading the tuna this weekend. He just got married last week. They had the reception there. And everybody I talked to said the food was outstanding. And the few times I've had the food there, it's always been outstanding.
Yeah, every time we've been there.
And I never think to go there for dinner.
I've never been there.
Never been there. Did you know that the name... Okay, here's a question. Did you know that the name of their restaurant at the Castle Manor Inn was the Sea Glass Restaurant?
No.
Yes, Toby. Toby's very involved. Toby is like very involved in the restaurant scene in town. So he does those stuff. I kind of new, but I never think of it that way.
Right, it's actually a great name for a restaurant.
But marketing-wise, I think that they probably be better served saying the restaurant at the Castle Manor Inn or the steakhouse at the Castle Manor Inn or something, because I don't think people kind of...
It doesn't tie the two together.
To me, Sea Glass sounds like it's like a beach, like a
store.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like a restaurant.
I'm going to get some porcelain starfish.
One of the top restaurants on the New Hampshire coast is called the Sea Glass Restaurant. And when I say top...
on the water,
it gets huge. It gets huge. It gets great reviews and stuff like that.
Tremendous reviews.
That's
Hampton Beach.
Hampton Beach or something, right.
Yeah, but that's on the beach, so that makes sense. Well, the Castle Manor is not on the beach, so I wouldn't even...
But this guy, the chef that's at Castle Manor Inn, the Sea Glass Restaurant at Castle Manor, he worked at Radius. He worked at, like, some big-time Boston restaurants.
In town.
In Boston, yeah. So this guy's got a good pedigree, and he's doing great things. So that's not to take away from... I'm sure, any one of these is going to be a fantastic deal.
Yeah.
It's three entrees... Three desserts and three, entree, appetizer, and dessert. And for that kind of money.
Oh, I wonder if the Franklin's going to have my Bam Bam stick. Remember that dish I got? What was that? Short rib?
I don't know, but it's a price fixed menu, so it's not anything off their menu. They have the menus are set. They probably have a couple options.
You get to choose, right?
Yeah. So that's a good take. We really want to push that. I sent them a email when I opened up this email, and I put it on the blog this morning. I sent them to give me a flyer in the parameter of the dimensions of the slider at the top of the blog.
Oh yeah.
So that I can keep it sticky there in the slider for the week. We'll see if they get around to sending me, because it has to be those dimensions or it won't work.
Right.
It's 860 pixels wide by 280 pixels. Deep. What do you call that? Wide
by height.
So there you go. So there's that. That's what we led with. Continuing with food, because it's like I seem to want to talk about all the time. this week I got out of work and I was just I was tired. It was late. I just wanted to get something quick. I went to Destino's for a sub. Linguica steak bomb sub. And I was gonna take it to go, but I really didn't have any place to be. So I grabbed it and I dined in.
Oh, you have to. You get the good potato salads.
Well, that's the whole... The point that I was going to bring up was exactly that.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I hate when we have to do takeout at Destino's, because I love their macaroni salad. It's the best.
It's like one of the best values in town. If you dine in at Destino's, you get access to the potato salad, the macaroni salad, the coleslaw.
But if you go early, you get a cup of soup. With it.
At lunchtime.
At lunchtime. Oh, so until they run out.
And a cup of soup. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy.
If you have a young person who has a bottomless pit for food.
Like an 18-year-old kid.
Right. That, if you go there, guaranteed you'll be able to satisfy that person.
Can I tell you something? I was working on a job in Cambridge, and the crew... asked me specifically.
Bring you Destino.
Yeah, and they said, the first thing they said to me was, oh, you're from Gloucester. Do you ever go to Destino? And then I subsequently brought them all subs from Destino's later on into the job. So
my best friend growing up, I was best man at his wedding. He was best man of mine. He's done well for himself. He's a successful guy. He moved to Tampa. First thing he does when he comes back to Gloucester, he goes directly to Destino's.
First stop.
He has to get a sub at Destino's. Because it's all, he's a value guy. You could give him a not that Destino's is not a good food or anything like that, but this is the kind of guy that if you give him a piece of steak that's a piece of shoe leather, but it's $5, he'll tell you it's the best piece of steak he ever ate.
Because it was $5.
But like if it was like the best piece of steak, you know, a dry aged morning thing, but it was $75, it's like, oh, it's all right. I don't know. It's kind of okay.
You know? Taste the value.
Destino's, I got to tell you, Destino's has by far the best chicken broccoli ziti in town.
Really?
By far.
I like
If you're gonna go out for pasta and that's the dish you want, that's where you need to go.
Another great value that they deliver, and you can get a meal for under $10. I think it's like $5.50 or $5.75 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Mike's Place. The chicken broccoli ziti. They'll deliver it. There's like a $2 delivery charge. It comes out to like $7.50, and they give you a big piece of garlic bread. They give you a big piece of garlic bread, and everything else, and delivered. So you give the guy $10, but it's like a meal that you can eat.
Wait, where is this Mike's Place?
Mike's Place. It's like one of my. It's one of my places that I can actually get some, like a big hearty meal when I'm working down the dock and stuff like that.
Yeah, the chicken kebab sub there, by the way, huge.
Huge, massive.
Steak salad. Yeah. So there you go. We got that. Continuing on the food chain. Huge. I think the post of the week, I'm going to go with the post of the week being the Giuseppe's closing poll.
Well, I talked to them yesterday.
You talked to Memory?
I saw Memory yesterday, yeah.
All right.
Actually, she sent me a really nice note last night because we were together doing the ALS walk for our friend Tanya's mother. And we had a barbecue after and we chatted and...
All right, tie it into this. What did she say?
Well, basically what she said was she hadn't heard the podcast.
She didn't see the post about the Indian?
No, she did not. She said that they've been really busy tying up
She actually commented it on Facebook saying the poll. So we did a poll.
Well, did she comment today, do you know?
No, she commented a couple of days ago. Okay. So the poll was, what would you like to see?
Oh, she saw the poll, yes. She said that, yeah.
Okay, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the post of the week being the poll.
She didn't know there was a podcast. That's what my point. She didn't know there was a podcast. She knew there was a poll.
Okay, well, with the post of the week being the poll of what would you like to see replaced at Giuseppe's, and so overwhelmingly, there was 834 votes. Overwhelmingly, Indian food was the biggest winner. There was 30% of the vote went for Indian. The next closest was 20% steakhouse, 12.5% sports bar, 8.5% barbecue, and then from there it's all kind of like
irrelevant
right. So David Calvo, a guy in East Gloucester over here, he has the wood carving shop, spoke to the people at Anmol, and I guess they actually met with the owners of the property. Memory Lane and Joe, who were renters there with Giuseppe's, don't own the space. Carlo Barbara, the guy that has Surfside Subs and owns where Short and Main is, and Captain Hooks, he also owns that building.
That building, right.
So,
interesting.
So what is going to go in there? We don't know. But for the people that are hoping for Indian, that is certainly if they show the result of that poll, there's definitely a want or for that.
A free marketing survey you provided.
Free
marketing free. Service.
So, well, I've never been to the place in Beverly that you're raving about, but it's definitely on our radar screen. It sounds wonderful.
People that have an open mind and try Indian. Like before I tried Indian, I had the same impression of all the people that I speak to that haven't had Indian, like, oh, it just sounds disgusting. It's all curry and it's like all mushy stuff. And I'm not a mushy, I'm a texture person. But like if you try their thing, like it's naan, and you dip it in some of these like
sauces
and stuff like that, it's a ton of flavor, and it's not all curry, like despite what people think it is, not even close. And you ought to try Anmol if you get up Beverly Way. But I want to talk about some of the comments that we were getting. Well, first of all, we'll talk about what Memory Lane said was what she would like to see go there. And her comment on Facebook was anything but my place. So she's like done with the restaurant business. It sounds like a lot of people said a real barbecue joint, and to those people, I would say maybe they don't realize that Smokin' Jim's is at the dog bar
now,
so you can get real barbecue because Smokin' Jim's is authentic barbecue. And then some people that said that we need a good Mexican joint. I'm wondering if they've been to Tacos Lupita, because Tacos Lupita is a lot of people's big time.
Definitely the more authentic in town.
And like, I think is probably in the last couple of years, one of the best additions to the food scene in town. Like, very reasonable, scratch very kitchen, reasonable. You know, good food, cheap. And then what I really want to know is who the 1% of the people that said we need another pizza joint. These are some of the more out-of-the-box thinkers in our town.
Someone that was a Domino's chain, probably. Trying to come into town with a Pizza Hut.
1%.
I'm moving if that happens, by the way.
Who says we need another pizza place? I want to meet these people. I need to personally meet these people. I don't know.
Is there like one pizza place for every 10 people in Gloucester, I think?
So 834 respondents. So 8.3 people.
I think it was the football team at the high school.
No, they go to Poussin's down on the boulevard.
Poussin's. Is that where they go?
That's like a high school,
It's walking distance.
Yeah. Like you walk right down there. Okay, well, that's my that's the end of my restaurant and food stuff. Does anybody have anything, any food experiences they want to share from this week?
Well, you may have seen my post last night that the lobster pool is closing.
Oh, yep, that was a big one. They got a lot of play. They got a lot of hits on the blog. A lot of Facebook shares.
Fellow that's buying it, my understanding was an IT guy, made lots of money.
Oh.
Has no real restaurant experience. Mm. Has been looking. Either has purchased some. Bed and breakfasts around or inns, and was looking for to do a restaurant. Hmm. So I guess he's been looking for some time.
I hope they keep it a fish shack type.
No, I think they
plan to.
The overwhelming responses on the Facebook page was, please don't change it.
Like
people were saying, oh my God, please don't change it. Like,
I hope they're making an Indian restaurant.
Or a pizza joint.
Or a pizza joint.
Indian pizza.
Half and half.
Indian pizza.
Indian pizza. It's my understanding there's been a recent complication down there. Because of the Rockport sewer is not down there yet.
They're going to have that all worked out. I'm sure they have that all worked out.
I think it's going to be a gas station. Would be sweet.
Well, I wish my Lisa and her family all the best.
And the new owners.
And the new owners.
Yeah.
It's going to be wonderful, whatever's there.
I was hoping you were going to say you bought it for your sister to open up her place.
You know something? That there are so many people.
That's a no.
There are so many people that's a huge family tradition for, going to that place.
Yeah.
How long has it been there?
Before
Tom and my Lisa had it. It was
there was some other Shimitaros that owned it.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I don't know if I knew them though. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
So 30 years.
It's such a beautiful spot.
Yeah. And it's BYOB, right?
It's BYOB, so it just makes it really fun and affordable.
I remember one time this summer, BJ and I drove all the way over there. It was just he and I home. We were dying for fried clams, and I said, "Let's just go sit, you know, look at the water, and just chill out for a little while. It's kind of like a little oasis over there. You get away from everything." And I didn't realize they only do cash. They had only done cash only or something like that. Or the credit card. I think I only had like one credit. I didn't have enough money to buy what we wanted. And they didn't take the card that I had. And I was like so bummed. We drove all the way to Gloucester, went to the bank, and drove all the way back. Because it's so good there.
The sunsets are amazing.
Though. Yeah, awesome.
Very special place.
Now, Toby, you know people and places. What's up with the place right next to it?
There used to be a restaurant.
There used to be a restaurant right next to it, the yellow building that's been roped on. I mean, talk about location. Anybody know what's going on there?
I believe it's a private home now, right?
I don't know.
I think it's still abandoned.
Well, get on it, Toby. Mm. Investigate.
Make it happen.
So last thing, I forgot to mention that Kim Smith brought Apple Crisp this morning.
Yes.
And I'm going to mention about the Apple Crisp, what made it particularly good was the crispiness of the apple, the crust on the top. A lot of times you get Apple Crisp and it's all mushy.
It's Apple Mush.
It's apple squish.
This was true Apple Crisp, so thanks for that.
Thank you very much for that.
Very good stuff. Yeah, and Felicia brought some candy corns. Felicia's all about candy. And,
Austin, I had a rough night.
I know you did.
I'm all about
she was
candy.
Up late.
I know, you rolled in with a bag of candy
cream
corn.
And cinnamon.
There's nothing better
cake.
This time of year than candy corns, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, the coffee cake
my
I got at Willow Rest.
My girlfriend, who doesn't know how to cook, it's a big joke in our gang, Mary McNamara, I will call you out. We have this cookie swap every year, and yesterday she went to the BC game. She was tailgating, and on Facebook she posted that she was cooking, and she had a picture of her refrigerator, and there were candy corn jello shots, like, filling her refrigerator. So I said, oh, is that a new entry?
Does she have
like
any juice there?
A new category in our cookie swap for the holidays? Because I'll make
I want to take the girls to a BC football
game. BJ wants to go. I think she has season tickets.
See if we can get some juice over there.
I'm calling you.
So... I have a question, and I don't know, maybe no one here has the answer, but I need to get to the bottom of this. I have a post going up, and it's there's in the blog roll, which is a list of links in the right hand column of the blog. There was there's a link to Gloucester gas prices, and it is updated fairly regularly with where each gas station, what their price is. So you can kind of shop and reward the places that are routinely cheaper.
Interesting.
So the price of oil recently plummeted.
Plummeted.
And it's down to like close to $80 a barrel.
Right. Gas is going up, though, right? Natural gas is going up.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the same time, this past week or so, we've been getting all these phone calls from these companies. At Captain Joe's, our business, they're calling, trying to get us to sign on for a couple year contract at a locked in rate, and they've been saying that electricity prices this winter are going to go up 35%. But I don't understand this, because I thought a lot of what electricity prices are based off is oil prices, and oil prices have been going way down. So I don't understand how they're saying that our electricity bill. Bills are going to go up by 35%. It makes no sense to me.
I thought our electricity was tied more to coal. So that's what I...
should ask BJ. He just did a whole thing.
I don't know.
Finance
that's
club.
What
I wish
if anybody
he
knows about this,
thing.
I want to know. It just seems strange to me.
That's what I understand is that...
That scares the hell out of me.
And they're producing 35%. Less coal. And they're producing less coal. So I think in the Northeast, our electricity is tied to coal.
Coal. Okay, well, that would be an answer that would make sense, because right now oil price is going down the toilet.
I have electric heat. It was $500 a month last winter.
Damn.
I'm lighting a fire in my living room on the floor this year.
Yeah, the house you live in is not huge.
No, but
it's to be $500.
See the way when they renovated it, somebody had to get all Miami Vice back in the 80s and open everything up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's
it goes straight to the ceiling.
You might as well just cut a hole in the ceiling and just... light a bag of money and throw it out the hole.
You know, the style of building, like, you know, for the last probably 30 years or whatever, has been like open floor plans. You know, big open foyers and open floor plans. So he goes
right. So it escapes up to the bedroom upstairs and downstairs. You could hang meat.
You know, 50 years ago, right. It was all little rooms with doors.
Right.
So you could isolate
like
the heat and stuff like
our
that.
Our 1851 house, right?
Yeah, probably a lot more.
Right. And the only time that I've ever wanted it to be more of an open floor plan is, now that my daughter's getting married, is so that we could have it there at our house. But it's just too many small rooms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But other than that, I love having all the small rooms, because of that very... I mean, we shut off huge parts of the house in the wintertime. So
don't
save,
have that
to
option.
Save money.
Don't, yeah.
I can close it. I can close a closet.
Right. Yeah, there's no more open floor plan.
I only have literally three walls on my first floor.
Yeah.
I know.
Let's just get it like, yeah, it's straight, everything's going straight up. But you have a lot of windows, so you get a lot of
warehouse is all glass. Heat through the
windows.
But my gas fireplace, year that we lived in our house, something happened with the plumbing, the baseboard, the heaters, and we had the one gas fireplace in the center of the house. That heated our entire house a whole winter. We didn't even know. I kept calling Barry saying, the baseboard heat is not hot. At my mother's house, they used to get hot. And he was at work all day. By the time he came home, he's like, oh, no, they're fine. I'm like, they're not fine. Then a plumber came, and he's like, do you know that your baseboard heat isn't connected? I'm like, see, I told you.
It wasn't even connected at all.
It wasn't even connected at all. The gas fireplace heated our entire house. I love our gas fireplace.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
and so does Coconut. It's our favorite spot to sit.
I keep saying I'm going to get over to the Cape Ann Chimney and Hearth and do a whole series with him talking about the benefits of each different type of thing, like pellet stove, the wood stove, and the coal stove,
yeah,
and the other different types and stuff.
I
got to do that now because when I thought to do it last year, it was like the end of the season when no one was going to be. But right now, probably everybody's thinking about getting that going.
Yeah, tonight it's going to be 37. Everyone's going to be thinking about that.
The thought of like carrying wood in the house.
Mm-hmm. You know something? It's
carrying wood in the house. Then the spiders everywhere. All good with that. All right? Well, you lost me right there with dirt and spiders and leaves coming in the house.
Camping with Felicia come in this spot.
Yeah, no, never. Let me tell you, my idea of camping is that, like, a five-star hotel.
Can we talk about my favorite post of the week was this.
Oh, my grandmother's wedding. Pat Dalpiaz, I think her name was.
What I loved about it was the beautiful descriptions of the dresses and the flowers.
They went into it.
Right, and the wedding wedding breakfast. What a great idea, wedding breakfast.
You know, it was really cool.
Wedding breakfast.
And, We do. There's a lot of people that nowadays will do and it's mostly for the wedding party and close friends and family.
Yeah,
like
anybody
that,
who stays
they're around
over,
for the next day.
But this wasn't the next day, I don't think, was it?
Well, our weddings last a week.
This is the
A wedding breakfast at the Kukuru home followed a lengthy automobile reception in Brazil. So they had a breakfast then a wedding.
Right.
It sounds like.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was. That's what I thought was really kind of neat. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. But you know what struck me about it was the several hundred people. There was 1,200 people at St. Anne's Church.
Yeah. Yes.
And then there were friends and business associates from a number of other ports, including
Boston
New Bedford, New
well,
York, Cape May, New Jersey, and Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah,
I know my grandfather,
right.
You know, you're thinking about, like, the fishing industry and stuff like that, but, like, this is back in 1938. These guys got these boats built in Essex, and they were fishing down off of coast. And, you know, they didn't have radars. They didn't have sonars. They didn't have – these guys are, you know, getting on these boats.
Right.
And you know what else was interesting to me that I didn't really understand? It says that a brilliant double wedding – the daughters of Captain and Mrs. Benjamin Cookeroo and two fishermen of the schooner Mary Grace. The schooner Mary Grace.
Wow. Oh.
They were schooner fishermen.
They were schooners.
Well, the schooners are what they... That was the fastest boat they developed to move the dories.
I understand, but like this is right around the time they must have been
switching over
from schooners to...
Right.
My grandfather's boat, the Benjamin C, was a motor.
It was later.
It was a diesel.
The Benjamin C was later.
Yeah.
Right, wow.
Yeah, so that's...
I missed that. Wow, that's really interesting.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Cool.
Very cool. Let me see here. I want to talk about this is very big time deviation from the topic, but see how I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
No one on the podcast can see, but normally this is something that I have to be more conscious of. Normally I'm hunched over. This is how I sit usually. You see how I am. My shoulders are forward. I'm hunched over. My back looks like it's curved over. Well, just recently, Elizabeth Bish, the chiropractor that I was going to, she had told me you have to properly align yourself and to the reason you get fatigued and you have back problems is because if you're hunched over, you're using all these muscles to support your upper body that get fatigued, and when they get fatigued, then that's when you have the muscle failures and the pulls and everything else. She goes, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to walk around like a pompous asshole. You know, she goes, it sounds like, you know, but you know the guys that walk around and they're pigeon-chested and their chest is, you're supposed to, if you're worried about how you if you have a lower back pain, supposed to walk with your
shoulders
back,
pinned back,
your chest out, and you're straight up. So for people that are having, this is like a public service announcement. For people that experience back pain.
As you look at me.
I know, did you ever go see Elizabeth Bish?
No.
Did you go to a chiropractor?
No, I had four 4 spinal shots, and I'm on Neurontin, and it's a freaking miracle.
Are you feeling good? Feeling better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did you get the Novocaine shots? Is that what they gave you? Or they give you
steroids.
God, I've had so many. I can't remember which ones.
The Novocaine shots work awesome. I've had those several times.
Yeah, I think, it was steroids.
But for long term, you know, instead of relying on a shot and to correct it yourself, like, just think
walk about... Walk like an asshole.
walk like you're a pompous asshole and stick your chest out and your shoulders back. I catch myself a lot of times when I'm like doing a lot of like either entering a lot of stuff for the war for the government reports hunched over the computer or everything. But that's when I get conscious of it and I straighten out and I actually have a lot less back pain because of it. Not all the time, but a majority of the time. So do any of you guys have your own way to handle back pain or to prevent back pain? More important than handling back pain is to
Kim is coming out of her chair. Kim, please.
Yeah, she's dying to say something. To prevent
Tell us about
back
some
pain.
Yoga, goddammit.
No, to prevent back pain, to prevent it.
Yeah.
Because I broke my back when I was pregnant with my son, Alex.
Push
a big baby.
Yeah. I was 9 months pregnant and I fell on the ice and I broke the last couple
vertebrae
there. Yeah. So
what are you doing on ice 9 months pregnant?
Skating.
That's my question I'm asking.
Getting my daughter to and from school.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like you're out in a pond. You're not out of Niles Pond.
Oh my god.
What's up?
Shoot in front of the goal.
But about 10 years ago, I started doing yoga regularly. Mm. I used to do it when I was much younger, and then and that's what I do because I work so hard at different times of the year. I have to get really geared up, and it's very physically demanding, and without the yoga, I would be dead. Yeah. So I just do it once a week, and then at a class, and then go do a little bit periodically whenever I can during the week, but... I swear by it.
Yeah.
I swear. If you have any kind of back issues, and especially if you've got a good yoga teacher, she'll work with you. She'll talk to you about your specific problem, and she'll help you if you have a good yoga teacher.
I wholeheartedly agree. When I did yoga, it was the best I ever felt.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anyone over 40 that doesn't have back pain.
I see that in every yoga class. Whoever comes in has back issues.
Yeah.
Different. Some have mid back, some have lower back, some have... but I just swear by it.
Mm.
So I'd love to see you guys doing
that. Well, I do a lot, like 3 or 4 of the different things I do in the morning, lay on the rug, on the floor, whatever.
Yeah.
And because I've been through PT like, 400 times for my back.
Right. So you have some good...
They kind of teach you a lot of that stuff. So I'll do like 4 or 5 of those things. And I notice if I go a few weeks or months and I just like, I'm too busy and I don't do it. I realize because then when I lay down to do it, I'm like,
oh, God.
No, it's absolutely right, though.
It's so tight.
Preventive maintenance is the key. Like doing yoga, doing stretching, whatever.
I cannot do yoga.
That's preventative.
I cannot do yoga.
Is it the clothes?
No, it's not the clothes. Isn't that? There's a couple of reasons. Well, there's one that I'm not going to talk about. You know why?
Is it my biker shorts
fart
that I'm wearing
yoga?
Right now?
I do not fart. People fart, and I'm...
Oh, Felicia's bothered by the people that fart during yoga.
People fart in yoga, and it's disgusting.
I'm sorry. Was that me?
But anyway, no, I get dizzy, and I did that. I didn't.
She gets dizzy from holding in her fart.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be honest here.
From holding her breath.
She's like, I can't do yoga because I couldn't.
Yeah. I think in all the years I've been to yoga, I've heard one person.
Oh my god, my girlfriend Dee and I went to a yoga.
Remember, you know something? She says that she was in a class.
We had to leave. We were laughing so hard. It was so bad.
I've never heard anyone fart in yoga either. I did it for 2 years.
It was like everybody around us.
It was a
farting.
I think it was a special Vishnu class where they eat a lot of Indian food and then they do yoga and the lady encourages farting. This is the farting exercise.
Just let it go, folks. Just let it go.
It was so funny. Dee and I had to walk out of the class. It was hilarious, but it never went back. But in all fairness, I was in a major car accident a long time ago, and I've suffered from back pain. I have body pain every day, but acupuncture was what saved me and got me walking. Acupuncture is rocked. Pam Strat and KPN acupuncture, she literally saved my life.
There you go. I know that there are a lot of people that swear by acupuncture. I
was afraid of needles, and that's...
I'm not afraid. If I thought that it was going to do something, I just I can't I guess it's more that I just don't see it. Like, you do a thing, and all of a sudden, all these muscles are getting lengthened that need to be lengthened or something
I've
like that.
I've had it on my shoulder before,
you
too.
Feel, if you have a good
I've had it. I had it one time where the lady was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I feel great." She's like, "Cause you just turned pitch white." Because like whatever nerves connected happened, she's like, "You just lay there and chill." I'm like, "I feel fine." You know, but it, tell you what, no, I mean it's real deal. Obviously, you know, people aren't going to screw around with it for thousands of years, but don't worry.
I see. To me, like I can see the benefits of chiropractic, especially if like, cause you hear those cracks. And you hear the tightness that something has to be, like, you know, moved around. You're out of a line. I can get that, right? I totally get that a lot of us, as we get older, we have less movements, or we're working hard, but we don't have flexibility, so our muscles get shortened. And because they get shortened, after they get fatigued, they snap, or you pull muscles and stuff like that. So I see how preventive yoga helps. Strengthening, stretching and then exercising definitely helps as a long-term solution, as opposed to like going in and
getting the treatment. Whatever the treatment is, it could be great and work for you, but if you want to prevent it, what you're talking about is
temporary pain relief.
But see, a lot of people with back pain, they like myself, I literally couldn't move. I could barely walk. If acupuncture is what got me up walking so that I could start to do pool therapy and stuff like that. So it depends on the degree of your injury, but you gotta move. You gotta do some form of exercise every day.
But Green Hit by Newburyport, which is 7.2%, that'll cure a lot of shit. about 7 or 8 of them puppies, and you're not feeling any back.
You're always talking about the alcohol, but the percentage of alcohol in the beer that you drink. The other day we had a Guinness or two, and you.
I'm a bit of a knowledge.
Every single beer that you, like you when know, you talk you about the beer, you talk about that. I feel like you're more concerned about how much alcohol is in than how much it tastes.
Well, how about like?
It's part of the beer knowledge.
I love that.
Most
beer,
people think Guinness is strong beer, and it's as. It's the same content as Budweiser.
Well, what about like that beer?
And I'm fine with that.
That orange beer, UFO orange. It's it's delicious.
That's a
seasonal Hefeweizen.
UFO Hefeweizen, beer.
How much beer? How much alcohol?
That's
content?
Probably five.
About five. Yeah. So, what's your average beer?
Five.
About five. So then,
four and a half, probably.
Okay, and so then something that's lower is like a
4.2.
Is like a light beer.
Yeah.
Okay. What would Coors Light or Bud Light be?
I think they're both about four.
Four. Okay.
And so then, what is like what beer has a high alcohol content?
Cape Ann Brewing, the Navigator is what?
I think the Navigator's six.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, like I haven't been in there forever, so but like I've had two beers there. And walked out and says, I can't drive right now.
Yeah, that's silly. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, they have... Well, two beers. Especially small brewers, they don't nail their alcohol content. Or, you know, just sometimes they say it's a little lower than it is because once it's a certain alcohol by volume, they have to classify it differently.
Oh,
and they have to serve a smaller glass of it.
Oh,
so sometimes if it says, hey, it's 5.6, it might be 6.3 or something.
If you're having something that's like 6... Then and you only usually have one or two beers, but then that's like having four, right? Because it's really double each time.
Well, think in comparison, wine is like three times as strong. So you can have three beers at 7.2, but a glass of wine is 13%.
You're not drinking 16 ounces of wine. The average pour of wine is like five ounces, and your average pour of beer is three times.
If someone's like, oh, I had three beers, and they said, oh, I had three glasses of wine, well, you actually had six beers worth of alcohol, because wine is 13%.
Well, but you're drinking.
Maybe you're drinking that much less, though. You're not drinking 12 ounces.
Have you seen the way they pour wine in this town?
It's not 12. You're not drinking 12 ounces of wine. A glass of wine at a bar. Restaurant.
Your ABV on your beer, you're drinking three times the amount of fluid as somebody who's drinking wine. So even if wine is three times the alcohol, if you compare it, it's the same. One beer is the same as one glass of wine.
Well, I see what you're saying. Because the volume...
Well, no. If you drink one beer and you drink one glass of wine, you've technically drinking more alcohol by volume than I have. I've just drinking more liquid. You've had more alcohol.
No, because
if you have 4 ounces at say
five ounces of wine
and 5 ounces of beer, the wine's going to have
more. No, but no beer is five ounces.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you drink the same amount of volume,
but no one does it.
You have your beer, your 16 ounces, okay, and I'll have a 5 ounce glass of wine. What I'm saying is.
But that's really what you're doing at a restaurant, though.
You're having a glass of beer. Right. If you go beer for wine at a restaurant, you're drinking about the same amount of
alcohol.
You're drinking about the same amount of alcohol.
Yeah.
Right? Because no one's pouring you a 5 ounce glass of beer.
And nobody's pouring you 16 ounces of wine.
Right. And no one's pouring, right.
Right.
I still don't see it like that. Because if you cut my beer in half,
yeah,
it's still 5% beer. So if I drink even a half a beer, it's still the wine is still more potent, basically, is what I'm saying.
It's per definitely ounce. More potent, but
you have to drink less to get the same amount.
I'm totally confused.
Anyways.
Right, you'd have to drink less, but you are drinking less wine. You are drinking less wine.
If I go and have three glasses
I get it, Toby. You don't need to keep going. Trust me with your mathematicians.
Well, you keep on saying your point. Which, and I'm saying you're not getting the point I'm making. So until I get
What I'm saying is if someone drinks three glasses of beer and someone drinks three glasses of wine.
It's the same amount of alcohol.
I feel a lot more buzzed off three glasses of wine than I do three beers.
Okay.
It's the same amount of alcohol.
See, you should put ice in the wine like me and you're all good.
No. That's the way it affects you. And you know what? I think if I have three glasses of wine... I definitely feel more buzzed than if I have three beers. That's the way it affects me as well.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying is.
Oh, there you go.
Drink for drink, it's more potent.
There you go. Okay. So here's a question that got sent in by Bill O'Connor from North Shore Kid. It's one or the other. If you're going to the mall, or if you're going to Boston. Do you say I'm going up the line or are you going down the line?
Up the line.
Up the line. Craig's up the line.
I'm trying to think what I say. I say I'm going up to Boston, even though it's down.
Right. You go up the line. I know we grew up the line.
Up the line.
Felicia's up the line.
I hear it expressed both ways.
Always semantics.
The question is,
what do you say?
I don't say either. How's that?
You don't say either. Okay.
You say I'm going to Boston.
You never say I'm going up the line or I'm going down the line.
No, okay. I don't say that.
Okay, that's fair. No. That was the answer then. Right. I wasn't asking how other people said. I was asking.
That's what I say. I'm going up to Boston today, honey. That's what I say.
I go, I'm going up the line. And then people from out of town do look at you like you get three heads.
All right, so what was Bill's exact point?
It's funny, like most of us, I think he said it as well, I think he as well says, I'm going up the line, recognizing we're really going down the line.
Do people in Boston use that term at all? Do they say, I gotta go to Gloucester today?
I think they're going up to the line.
I think the line that they're talking about is 128, and so Boston people aren't like directly on 128 anyway, so that's what they would be talking about. Mm. Right.
Yeah, it's definitely the Gloucester
expression.
Maybe
we'll hear from some Boston listeners.
Yeah. Up the line.
Up the line.
That was up the line 1,000 times yesterday. Up the line. My car could seriously just drive itself, to be honest. I could just sit in the back
autopilot.
Seat and relax.
I'm surprised there's not more carpooling going on for when we were kids, we went to Bishop Fenwick, and there was a ton of kids from East Gloucester that went to Bishop Fenwick. One or two years, we were on a bus. Or like 1.5 years, and then people got together and they coupled. And
you know what it is? I'm going to tell you. When my kids were at St. Mary's when they were younger, it was easy to carpool because they pretty much come home after school. You know,
with the exception
maybe a day or two, it might be a little something, or even if it's after school help, it's for a half hour, so the carpool would usually wait. But when the kids get into high school, everyone's into this. So many this.
So
who's into a sports
activities.
And clubs and meeting with teachers and in group projects and stuff like that. That for us, it's just not worth it. We haven't been in a carpool since the kids were in elementary school.
She said, you'd think, though, with the price of gas, people would work their way around it, figure it out. But
Barry just figured out on our car, I think, how many miles, you know, we had. And there's a button that it tells you how much gas you've used, how many gallons of gas.
What a lifetime.
You figured out since we've owned the car, it's been like $35,000. Like, he did an average price of gas, you know.
Yeah.
Like $35,000 worth of gas. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think from I'm gonna, you know how in the beginning of the podcast I go through with everybody, I say put your phones on silent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think for the next podcast I have to add into my thing, when I ask a question, it's like, it's not what's like, it's try to listen to the question. I think that's going to be part of the thing.
Are you going
to
confiscate our phones in the following one, too? I thought you were going to say that.
See, it's just not for the phones. The point isn't about the phones. The point is about listening to the questions and answering the question that I ask. See, she can't even follow that. I know you're tired, though, because you were up late last night. But really, you're out in left field today.
That's what acupuncture does to you. Okay? I'm just telling you, it screws everything up in your head.
Totally.
Totally. I didn't drink last night. I have no excuse.
There's an excuse.
That's my excuse.
Oh, you wanted to give a shout. Get your shout outs in. You had two shout outs.
Oh, yesterday I was blown away. My girlfriend, Tanya Frost, her maiden name was Reynolds. Her mom just passed away September 4th with ALS. She was diagnosed in March and passed away. It was a very, very quick, aggressive form of ALS. Anyway, North Shore Walk for ALS was yesterday. And it was at Patton Park in Hamilton.
Great.
Could not
coast.
Believe how many people and teams there were. It was crazy. I think they raised over $200,000.
That's awesome. And it was, so her team, Tanya's team?
Yeah, Barbara's Brigade. It was...
45 people?
45 okay. people from Gloucester. It was great. Aww. It was a beautiful day. Yeah.
All right. Shout out
and
to the people.
It was great. We had a barbecue after, and it was really, really cool. We were all sitting in Tanya's backyard, and my girlfriend brought some limoncello to toast. And as we're pouring, we look up, and there's a double rainbow.
I saw the pictures.
And Tanya's like, "That's my mother." It was just such a beautiful way to just end, you know. So it was great. It was a good day.
Very cool. Okay, the other thing we wanted to give a shout out to is Joe Borge, Lone Gull.
Joe Borge, yeah, Lone Gull. He just finished the Ironman in
Kona.
Yeah, they're going to send us some photos. He had a great time, and I guess
he's been training
for a while.
Anybody, and
we've seen him.
And you guys are, Kim and Felicia are big-time Niles Beach people in the summer. Like, you see him swimming back and forth, like you're like, who the hell is this guy? He's been going back and forth swimming right along the shore of Niles Beach, Eastern Point, like every day in training for this. So... Kudos, and we can't wait to see the photos of Joe.
Yeah.
They're great people.
And so where did this take place?
Kona, Hawaii.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like
I think he did the Ironman, like the one where they.
Yeah,
that's on like ESPN and stuff.
Yeah, like the big time Ironman one.
Yeah,
not like
a great picture of him finishing the coming across the finish line. They're sending us. I've seen it.
Yeah,
I'm
looking forward to those photos. Kudos to Joe. This is our 98th episode. There's going to be another one. And then we have the big one where we invite anyone that's ever participated in one of our podcasts for a big reunion podcast for our 100th one. We're going to do it at night. We're going to do it at Cape Ann G. Clay, James and Eves, and James and Anna, who have been podcast participants in the past. So I'm really looking forward to that. I want to give a shout out to Kenny McCarthy, who we started out the Gloucester Cast together. In the very, very beginning, and he was he's instrumental in, like, you know, like, just kind of talking about a format and stuff like that. We don't really do the format he had, but he was a great guy to work with, and I hope he comes out for our
that'll be great
our thing, and everybody else.
Kenny McCarthy, the realtor.
Yeah.
Awesome. He does some awesome real estate posts.
Yeah, he does those great videos and stuff like that. So hopefully he'll come on.
I have some big happenings at our house. It's been a while. I'm kind of excited. Manchester Athletic Club has the tennis academy that Amanda, I don't know, some people know, my daughter's a competitive tennis player. She's played for a long time. Trains at the MAC. And they have an alliance. They're building an alliance with another club in France. and they're coming this week. We've housed kids from all over the world. We always have kids in the house, and it's been about almost 2 years since we've had our last international
Tennis Academy.
Usually
you get them from like Colombia
student.
And stuff, right?
We've had several from Colombia, Sweden, Norway, Finland, just
yeah.
all over. Even within the United States, we have kids too. But we're having four students join us on Tuesday night for a week from France.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And Nick Bolletieri is going to be here. He comes once a year. He's coming to the club for his annual visit, which he does clinics with the kids and, you know, gives them
I want to know when Amanda's going to go overseas and to one of these places.
Apparently this academy for we have been invited to Colombia.
Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't send to the club.
And, you know what?
Not the tennis mecca I was thinking of.
I know you're going to say, oh, it's wonderful
now,
over
it's
there.
Olivia,
the Colombian necktie?
Olivia was there a couple months ago, and it was beautiful.
Oh,
and
sure, it was
it
wonderful.
Is beautiful.
Yeah, the drug cartels. There's no drug cartels there either.
No,
that was all. That's all fantasy.
That's the part you don't go to. But that's the part you don't go to.
Yeah, we have.
You don't go to.
You know, we had Sammy. We had a girl, Sammy, from Colombia. She lived with us for 6 months, and she was awesome.
She's a sweetheart. Beautiful. I'm sure that Sammy's family was probably the one percenters that, like, are ruling and, like, you know, like, she's probably part of the Imelda Marcos' family.
Yeah, well,
that, like, owned, like, 95% of the rainforest over
there. There you go. I was going to say, they own a plantation.
Of course.
They have
a coffee company, and all the kids are, like...
They're the wealthier kids that are coming, by far, you know. But anyway, we're excited. But the Matt kids have been invited to go to France in the spring. I don't know if Amanda will be going because that's financially
it's a lot of money.
But it's exciting and it's been a great experience for our family to have these kids from all over
just
the world.
Just make sure they don't do yoga because we don't want them farting all over the house.
They're too busy. They come home, they're junk. By the time they're done training, they do a lot of training.
Well, that's when they're most susceptible. If they're doing yoga in the house, they're a little lax.
So
they let one slip out.
Hopefully my ovens will be working.
I was
going to
say, you better get them ovens fixed.
Everything will be working by Tuesday. No pressure, DCS.
Did you hear anything from them?
I did. I'm waiting for a phone call tomorrow. They did contact me. So
they should reach out to the people that they made her dishwasher and stuff like that. She's hoping to get some resolution there.
We had a DCS, and I had to say goodbye to it.
You had to shit can it.
I had to say goodbye to it. I couldn't get it repaired. And
that's the problem. There's
nobody to repair them, and you spend thousands and thousands of dollars thinking that they're going to last longer than they do.
Well, I told you my idea. This is my idea. All these, like in the past 15 years, everything has gone digital. Everything has gone stainless steel. And my idea, and I swear to God, if I could get a venture capitalist to back me on this, I know that we could get, we would bring it all the way back. And this is my idea. To go back to old school appliances.
Analog. Yeah.
No digital readout. The knob that you pull out, it goes clunk. You turn it two clicks and you press the start button and it engages the motor that they've made 5 bazillion of these motors that you can unbolt and plug back in yourself with the belt that drives it.
That's true.
And that your mother had for 35 years, and you didn't need to buy the extended warranty for 2/3 of the price of the thing, because if one the guy comes out to fix it, it costs you $400 to look at it.
You know where they have those? Colombia.
I'm going to Colombia.
I did buy a washing machine because after our computer board went in our washing machine, I went to Home Depot and I found a mechanical washing machine.
They make them still?
Yeah, it doesn't have a dot. It doesn't have a computer board or anything in it. It's just like has like
awesome,
you know, gentle and you know, gentle and regular cycle.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's what you did.
That's
brilliant.
Right. And
but
then,
someone needs to market them this way. Somebody needs to market them. Somebody needs to market them in a way that they're not ashamed. They're proud of this. That we're going back old school, and we're proud, and we're using galvanized materials. Not gonna be no plastic on this thing.
Right.
It's gonna be all galvy, and they're gonna last like your mother's thing. That's what it's gonna be.
So when I had my bridal shower, we've been married almost 21 years now. I received a gift of the KitchenAid mixer. Now, we all know how much I cook, and I use that every day. It broke about 2 years ago, and we called the company, and, you know, it was just cheaper by the time you send it, $100 to have it diagnosed, and then whatever parts it needs, and then the shipping back and forth you had to pay for. It was cheaper to go buy a new one. So I went to the store, and I bought a new KitchenAid mixer. I had it less than 2 weeks. It broke. Went back, got another one, because I'm in cooking season. I need my mixers. Bought another one. That one broke. I will never buy another KitchenAid. They do not make them. Now, I have all three KitchenAid mixers. When you pick up the one from 20 years ago, it is heavy. It's totally made different. There's no way they're the same machine.
This is what I want you to do. Do you still have them in your garage?
Yes, I do.
Okay, this is what I want you to
do. Let's open them.
I want you to bring them down the dock.
Okay.
Because I have the little digital scale over there.
Hopefully Barry didn't scrap them yet because we were talking about it in the garage.
But this is the thing. This is what. Oh, you could do this at your house.
Yeah.
You could either take, put them on a digital scale.
Oh, and weigh them.
And this is the thing. This is the one from 20 years ago, and this is the one from today.
No question.
And they put the same model number on them.
People ask me all the time. I'm like, I'm telling you, I will not buy another. Do not buy a KitchenAid mixer for anybody in your family for Christmas.
Well,
they
this is all
if
they
you're
do now.
Cook a lot, you make dough,
all
you
they
got,
do
you
now is they put stainless steel over crap.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And they charge twice as much money because of the stainless steel.
Yeah.
And you know what? 95. I don't. That's what they do.
Yeah.
It's business.
Yeah.
And they're not. They want you to have to buy a new mixer every 5 years.
Oh God.
Oh yeah. Right. And I can't afford to.
There's
buy
no incentive for them to make it. So that's why I'm saying you'd like.
I'm buying all restaurant grade mixers, everything now, when I can afford it.
Have a friend that works at the restaurant, that works
they
in the restaurant industry.
I am buying commercial grade everything. I am not buying anything because I use it too much and it breaks. And when you're spending $300-$400 every 3 or 4 months, it's worth it to just save up and spend $1,200 and get the good mixer.
Yeah, well, if you're doing what you do, it's a little
different. But you know, like people say, like, I'm thinking, like, I do a lot of cooking, but there are other people that do the same amount of cooking. I mean, like, they should last. They shouldn't break.
Well, if they're charging, you know, you could get a regular mixer for $100, and you're going to tell me that you spend $250, $300, or $350, $500 on a mixer. That should be a minimum 10-year mixer.
The same thing with Cuisinart. My Cuisinart mixer. Chopper, that thing's junk too. I'm done with that. I've bought two of those, and get dull.
Food processors.
Yeah, the food processors. Okay. They do not make them the same way. I have them all. And
if you have friends that are in the restaurant business and go to the Restaurant Depot, they have access to wholesale pricing on restaurant grade
equipment. And their blades are so much sharper.
Yeah. Probably made with better materials.
This is a little off topic, but same idea. When I bought my sewing machine, it had a 26-year warranty on it.
Is the company still in business after 26 years?
I wonder why 25 wasn't their cutoff. They're like, you know what, let's give them
one more year.
Where did they come up with that number?
Because 27, that piece of shit's going to fall apart at that point. But 26, I'm going to put money on that.
But you know what, I'm still using it. I bought it when I was 16.
Oh, dear God. That's amazing.
And it was just a small one, and I used it in my business when
Is it the one that has the thing that goes around?
Is it foot pedals? You're like, whoop, whoop, whoop,
whoop. No, it's not a foot pedal, but it's solid metal. Like, I've looked at newer sewing machines, and they're all just...
Is it from Sears?
What brand is it?
It's Bernina.
That's what I have. Yeah. I was going to say, Bernina and Viking are the best sewing machines in the market. Save your money.
Yeah, so any venture capitalist out there...
We want analog machines.
We want analog machines.
Exactly. Analog should be the name of the company.
That's right. Straight up. Straight up. Straight up analog.
Straight up analog.
Straight up. You in? You in? You going to be an investor?
I'm in, man.
Boom! We just created a company right here.
That's right.
That's it.
As long as they can make them, I just want mine working the way that they worked. I loved my appliances.
Well, I'll tell you, the DCS ovens that you had a really unique feature that I haven't seen on any other oven since. They had the racks were on
rollers.
They were bearings.
Sliders, yeah.
They were slider bearings. So literally, with the flick of a little thing, the thing came out perfectly and stopped right where you wanted it. And like a little flick back, You weren't fighting with that thing that was like jam, 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 and inevitably you pull it, and the glass pot comes smashing to the ground.
What attracted me to the DCS when we were looking at the appliances was the inside cavity of the oven. That's like a big deal for me because
you want a big
putting
one.
Big things.
I need to be able to fit like a ginormous turkey in there, yeah. Like you know, so that. I want my DCS to work. That's what I want.
Right. You don't want to
demolish it. I don't want to have to get another one. I just want the ones I have to work.
Yeah.
That's acceptable.
My kitchen was built around them. You know, like, well, now what am I supposed to do?
That's true. Everything's built in.
All my cabinets. Everything is built around it. So.
You can just cut a big hole there and put an old cold fire.
Anybody got any special... okay, listen to the question, okay?
Yeah,
does anybody have anything that they're going to do different this holiday season food-wise? Not something that you've already done. Anybody have any? Because is there a new trend this year? Because I know that the turducken was the big Thanksgiving thing
last year.
Yeah. No, there's no turducken.
Anybody
this
going
year.
Back
no.
to tradition?
Well, we do a theme every year, and this year is Southern Christmas. Last year was French.
That's awesome.
So this year will be a Southern Christmas.
That is a tremendous idea. Yeah. Switch it up.
Yeah, switch
love
it up.
That
would not fly in our family.
So you could do like the Flintstones.
It's a great idea.
You could become
Brontosaurus.
Right.
Have a whole rack side of a cow.
You know, but you know how you get sick of Tossville Fair is great, right? I mean, it's an awesome event. But you know how you get sick of it because it's the same thing every year, and you go in and you know, like, how many times can I do this? And how much money are you spending to do this and everything else? Like, you know, so we went to Connors Farm this year, and it was awesome. It was different.
Yeah.
It's much smaller, but right. Totally different, right? So there's something to that. Switch it up a little.
So when you did the French, you did a French Christmas, you said?
Yeah, it was, you know, the beef loins, French style, the desserts were
do you wear appropriate clothing?
No, it's not reenacting, it's just cooking the food.
Got a little French
made
outfit
beautiful French chocolate cake logs.
Yep, it's exactly what Hannah
did. Hannah wear the black pantyhose with the line up the back?
Get her out of this.
I wore that, Joey.
That's what I was hoping.
I dressed up like a French maid and freaked everyone out. No one showed up.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Too much fun. Yep. There's another one, folks. Just over an hour.
of your life you'll never get back.
Ken Kimberly.
A normal life.
Mrs. Grumpy Pants, Kim Smith, Mr. Effervescent, Toby, Pat, and Sister Felicia, it's Joey Schimitow. Have a great week, y'all.